This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 7th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, big changes in store for fisheries in the Great Lakes, and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Ameren says more than 52,000 homes and businesses are still without power in Missouri and Illinois, with most of those affected customers in the land of Lincoln. Ameren spokeswoman Susan Gallagher says just 8,000 customers still don't have electricity in Missouri. More than 30,000 customers still don't have power in Illinois, including about 15,000 in Decatur. It's now a full week since a storm packing ice and snow first began blowing through the two states. At one point, 235,000 Ameren customers in Illinois were without power. Autopsies have confirmed at least 7 people died in Illinois during the wintry assault and its wake. Governor Rod Blagojevich has declared nearly 50 Illinois counties state disaster areas. Meanwhile, the number of outages has prompted an investigation from the Illinois Commerce Commission. Member Kevin Wright says this is the second time this year Ameren customers have faced a widespread and prolonged outage. He points out that it took several days for the utility to restore power to customers hit by severe storms in July.
Ameren is a very large, they are the second largest utility in Illinois. They are a sophisticated company. And what we need to make sure is whether they were adequately prepared for a company of its size, having gone through a past weather-related event, whether they took the appropriate measures to be prepared and respond to these issues.
Wright says the commission will scrutinize the situation at its December 19th meeting. Wright says if it finds Ameren was at fault, it could order customer refunds. The commission could also fine the company, or it may require Ameren to improve maintenance and operations. A spokesman from Ameren says the utility welcomes the audit. Lee Morris says inquiries after storms are routine. Morris stresses that Ameren was prepared to respond, but he says this storm was unusual. Morris says crews were delayed by impassable roads. He also says freezing temperatures prevented the ice from melting, and that caused more trees to fall, which disabled more power lines. Some Ameren customers are expected to face outages through Saturday. Jury deliberations enter a second day today in the murder trial of a woman charged with drowning her 3 children in 2003. Jurors at Amanda Hamm's trial deliberated for about 2.5 hours yesterday before going home for the night. In closing arguments, prosecutors accused Hamm of helping to plot the deaths to preserve her relationship with the man who sank a car in Clinton Lake with her children trapped inside. Hamm's attorney, however, accused authorities of badgering Hamm into making conflicting statements about the deaths. Hamm's former boyfriend, Maurice Legrone Jr., was convicted of murder and is serving life in prison. Jurors have the option to consider a lesser charge of endangering the life or health of a child for Hamm, which carries a sentence of 20 years in prison. The report outlining possible next steps in the Iraq situation lays out only unfavorable choices for the United States as a new power structure in the Middle East emerges. As AM 580's Tom Rogers reports, that's the assessment of the professor who heads the University of Illinois' Center for Global Studies.
Professor Edward Colajay says the report suggests discussions with other players in the Mideast, many of whom he says have won more influence in the region at the expense of the U.S., but with whom the Bush administration doesn't want a deal.
That means Syria, Iran, the Hezbollah, Hamas will be at the table. And what we have to see if we can negotiate with them sufficiently so as to have some kind of limits on their power appetite.
Colajay says those Mideast players already have influence on Iraq that they seem uninterested in negotiating away. U of I professor James Nolan says the report sets out a political solution to the Iraq crisis more than a policy solution. He says it provides a chance for the White House to get off the hook of its rigid positions on Iraq. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
A supermarket and Champaign's tallest building are set to be built on land that once housed the city hospital. After several years of delays, developers broke ground yesterday on the Burnham 310 project. They hope to lease out an 18-story apartment building aimed at U of I graduate students, employees, or empty nesters. City Planning Director Bruce Knight says the project is aimed at creating a more urban atmosphere where people live, work, and shop in a small area.
To live in a place that has that urban feel rather than more suburban fringe type development. This project is our first step in trying to create that urban neighborhood.
Developer Joel Pickus says final talks are underway with Neiman Foods to build a small supermarket on the site that would fit the atmosphere.
It's going to have a lot of energy, a lot of what everybody calls, like, you know, the Whole Food type or Trader Joe's type thing. That is what they're going to do. It's a new concept for them. It's going to be exciting. It's going to address the people that are going to want to shop here.
Pickus says work on the high-rise is getting underway now, and he hopes tenants can start to move in by August of 2008. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. The fisheries in the Great Lakes are seeing dramatic changes. In one lake, an invasive species that has become part of the food chain has collapsed. But some native fish are doing better because of that collapse. Lester Graham reports some fishery managers are debating what to do next.
When we started digging canals connecting the lakes to the Atlantic Ocean, things changed a lot for the fish in the Great Lakes. First, the sea lamprey got into the lakes through the Welland Canal that bypasses Niagara Falls. The lamprey is an eel-like parasite that nearly wiped out the big fish in the Great Lakes by attaching to them and sucking the life out of them. Also slipping through the canals was a smaller fish, the alewife. Since the lamprey wiped out most of the predator fish in the lakes, the alewife population exploded. They outcompeted native fish for food. It got so bad that by the mid-1960s, if you weighed all the fish in Lake Michigan, more than 80% of the weight would have been alewives. So once wildlife managers got the sea lamprey under control, they had to figure out what they could do to get the alewives under control. The fish biologists decided to introduce new predators, trout and salmon, to prey on the alewives. These fish were not native to the Great Lakes. Expensive nurseries were built by federal and state game agencies to try to keep supplying new trout and salmon every year to prey on the alewives. 40 years later, in Lake Huron, the alewife population collapsed. And in Lake Michigan, alewives are declining rapidly. So, mission accomplished, right? Well, in that 40 years, a whole recreational fishing industry has grown up around fishing for those introduced trout and salmon. Some fishery managers say now we have to find a balance of the right amount of alewives to sustain the introduced trout and salmon fishery. So recently, states cut their trout and salmon stocking programs to give the alewives a chance to recover. Tom Trudeau operates a fish nursery for the state of Illinois. He says it would cause trouble to try to take the Great Lakes back to native fish only.
We do have this industry that, you know, we have pressure to keep. You know, you're putting a lot of people out of business if you get rid of it.
And Trudeau says because of ecological damage, many of the smaller native fish on which the big predators used to feed have been wiped out.
So, I mean, of the six or seven species in that category, we only have one. So, I mean, you know, yeah, we could talk about going back into the ideal situation of pure native species, but we've disrupted the habitat so much.
So the argument goes, the invasive alewives are now needed. But something unexpected happened when the alewives disappeared from Lake Huron. The native fish, walleye, yellow perch, and lake trout started doing better. Dave Fielder is a fisheries research biologist with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources.
We've long known that adult alewives were a predator and competitor on newly hatched perch and walleye fry. We just didn't realize how substantial that effect was until finally the adult alewives were removed from the system, and now we're enjoying some greatly increased reproductive success. Walleye, particularly in Saginaw Bay, are at some of the highest levels that we've seen in a long time.
But after 40 years, people are used to fishing for those introduced trout and salmon, and some fishery managers are wondering what will happen to all those expensive nurseries that provide their jobs. What happens to all those charter boat fishing operations, fishing tourism, if the government were to stop stocking those trout and salmon? Would people switch to fishing for native fish? And can the native fish even survive in the long run, since so many of the smaller native prey fish are no longer around? Dave Fielder says it's hard to say.
So we're kind of in the middle of a change. It's really a paradigm shift in many ways. And that's always scary because nobody really knows how we're going to end up. But I prefer to be optimistic. I think there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful in regards to the benefits that we're seeing for our native species.
But some fisheries managers say the debate of whether to go all native or to try to find the right mix of native and non-native fish is not over, since invasive species, pollution, and habitat destruction have changed the Great Lakes so much. Wildlife managers think they'll still have to keep stocking one kind of fish or another to keep the recreational fishing industry going. If that's the case, does it really matter whether it's a native fish or the introduced fish that anglers have grown to like so much? For the Environment Report, this is Lester Graham.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the DTE Energy Foundation and the Great Lakes Fishery Trust. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
And the forecast for today, mostly sunny skies, the high only around 19 degrees, breezy with northwest winds up to 20 miles per hour, gusts up to 35. Tonight, clear skies, a low around 8 degrees. And for tomorrow, sunny, not as cold, the high in the lower 30s, southwest winds up to 15 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, December 7th, I'm Jeff Bossert. This has been the AM 580 News... This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.